After years of study through listening and practice, taking trips for research, forming new lasting friendships, and even modifying her instrument, flutist Martha Council Vargas is celebrating the release of a new CD in which she performs works combining a Euroclassical form with an American dance, folk, or popular music tradition. And by American, she means the whole hemisphere, Central America, the Caribbean, and South America. This is WMUK's Let's Hear It. I'm Kara Lawrence with more music of the moment in West Michigan. And tonight, my guest is Western Michigan University Professor of Flute, Martha Council Vargas.
I must tell you my experience upon opening the package you sent was to pull out a happy pink CD with a absolutely fantastic image of you holding your flute with your a very period style here. We have your hair pinned up in curls and this sassy attitude on your face and bare shoulders, and it just looks like something you'd see in the 60s.
You know, I did take a chance with this cover. When I was doing research on the Cuban flute tradition, the Cuban dance tradition, that popular dance tradition, charanga tradition, was so much in the forefront in the 40s and 50s. And I was surprised and a little shocked at the beginning when I looked at these old records and saw that instead of the band being featured on many of their covers, it was, you know, a light-skinned pinup style model, usually with, you know, pineapple in her hair or next to some Congo drums. But I don't know, that gave me the idea for the concept of the cover. And so Ksenia Polbert, my photographer based in Chicago, really went with it. She did give me a martini before the shoot. That helped. And my designer, Kelly White, who's based here in Kalamazoo, also really, really got it. So, you know, I'm proud of the cover. I really am.
It stands out from all the rest. And, you know, when I introduce you as professor of flute at Western Michigan University, this totally breaks the mold.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. Like I said, I took a chance. A lot of people in the industry kind of advised me to do something else. And then actually the publisher, he goes, do it. Go ahead and do it. He said, if I could do it, I would. So, yeah, I hope so. You know, as professors in the School of Music, we're teachers and we're absolutely dedicated to our students, 100%. We're also artists. And I think it's really important as an artist to be true to an artistic vision, no matter what. And so that's what I aim to do here.
The new CD is available right now on Amazon and iTunes. So if you want to know what we're talking about exactly, you can click it up online. It's also available at the record label website, bluegriffinrecords.com. Now, Blue Griffin Records is a company based in Michigan, too.
Yes, and it is very special. My friend and colleague, Sergei Kvitko, and his partner started the company about 10 years ago. They purchased a very large mansion in Lansing, right next door to the governor's mansion, actually. And the home was built in the mid-20s during Prohibition. So their third floor was actually a ballroom, and was fully equipped with a stage. It's beautiful, the space. And there's sort of a secret stairway that leads up to it. So perfect for them to start this recording business. The studio is incredible. Sergei is an awesome producer and engineer and a great friend of mine. So I felt really blessed to have found that.
There are certain places that when musicians feel the space and hear the space, they get very excited. There's something about the way sound waves come back off the walls that almost makes them want to pull out their instrument and play.
Kara, you're exactly right. And this space not only had the danger in a recording studio is it's this very sanitized, dry space. And I've never been good at playing in that environment ever. And so that's another reason why this space was perfect for the recording. The recording is about joy. It's about communication. It's about, you know, dancing. And so this sort of secret ballroom, I felt like the spirit of that place really helped make the recording what it is.
Again, it's called Gran Danzón. That's a Spanish term, of course, for grand dance or great
exactly.
Dance.
Exactly. Danzón is this important dance in Cuban musical history. And Gran Danzón is the title of Paquito de Rivera's flute concerto, which is one of the tracks on the CD.
All of the works on the CD are off the beaten path. And yet the sound of the CD, the way you play them, the commitment and verve with which you play them make them sound like new essentials to the flute repertoire. And I think you've placed them just perfectly, uncovering these gems. So if we might start by just going straight through the selections on the disc and starting with the first one by André Sas. Is he the earliest composer in this series?
Yes, he is. He's the only non-living composer on the disc. And he was trained as a musicologist in Belgium. And he moved to Lima, Peru, started investigating the indigenous tradition, the Andean flute tradition, which is, of course, so beautiful and so strong in Ecuador, Peru, and in all the Andes throughout South America. And so this piece, really, you can really hear that tonality and that spirit in the music.
What movement might we play that has a folk element to it?
I think you would definitely hear that in the Fantasia, the first movement, definitely dance folk tradition.
Well, let's listen. This is Martha Council Vargas and pianist Richard Steinbach. If you've just tuned in, that is Western Michigan University professor of flute, Martha Council Vargas, and her new release is called Gran Danzón, and that was music of Andrés Sas, born in 1900 from his Sonatina Fantasia. It's the work that opens this new recording on Blue Griffin Records, which is available at iTunes and Amazon and bluegriffinrecords.com. Tell me a little bit, Martha, about the selection process of bringing these works together.
You know, that was not an easy process. There are so many great pieces for flute by Latin American composers and U.S. composers. To only choose four was really difficult. I wanted to represent the Cuban dance tradition with Paquito de Rivera Concerto. That has been my area of research focus for several years now. But the indigenous tradition of flute playing is so strong that finding the Sas was really perfect because I felt strongly that that had to be included.
A Belgian who moved to Peru and fell in love with the flute music traditions.
Exactly.
Now, in Peru, at least in my mind, I think of the folk music is using flutes very different from your standard silver concert flute. And in fact, I think of, is it the zamfir, the pan flute?
Exactly, the smaller vertical pipes.
Okay,
yes.
That's a traditional instrument there?
Yes, very much so. In the mountains, that tradition is very strong and very much alive and well these days.
What other kind of flutes do they play?
Well, there's the quena, which is a vertical wood flute as well. So, and you know, wherever you go, there's going to be a slightly different version of the flute, which is another fascinating and wonderful thing about that tradition. And I think the thing that draws them all together is this sort of haunting, dark wood quality to the sound.
Well, one of the things you pick up immediately from looking at the cover of your album is that you have a wooden head joint, and a very pretty one too. It's got sort of a pinkish color.
Yes, I felt so lucky that I was able to. Well, the more I studied this music, the more I thought, okay, I've got to get a wood flute. And in the Cuban tradition, they play a five-keyed instrument. That would be a key system that is completely different from the bohm system that classical flutists use. And so I thought an intermediate step would be to go to switching my head joint, which is like the top third of the flute, from a metal to a wood head joint. And so I requested several different head joints from several different flute makers, and it was so wonderful to try. It was like a rainbow of head joints. They were all different colors, from dark, dark black. There was a yellow one, and I eventually settled on this Nagahara head joint, which is a wood called pink ivory. It's not just because I like pink. It really was the sound quality that I was looking for, one that combined, you know, that darker, richer ethnic sound with some refinement and a little bit of sparkle as well.
The ivory wood, I imagine, is a very, very hard wood, as hard as you can get in the in plant material, to withstand or to match the metal in a way. But you can still get that whisper bendy kind of sound on it.
Yes, and that's what attracted me initially to this particular wood and to wood in general. I think it's a really special head. Every time I play, I have flutists asking me where can I get one. So I think Nagahara makes a really, really good instrument, and I'm really lucky to have it.
Have you ever been to a flute maker's studio and seen the kind of behind the scenes work that they're doing?
You know, I haven't. I've been to the shop, but it's always seems to be like in an emergency situation. Like I have a concert tomorrow and the flute doesn't play. Have you?
I have not, but I kind of want to, although it's almost a little dangerous. I hear the dust that comes off of the lathe in making wooden flutes. It's very fine and very penetrating.
I didn't know that.
And sometimes they use woods that can cause allergic reactions.
Well, that's terrible.
Yeah, some of the woods are related to poison ivy,
Oh, for heaven's
but
sake.
not pink ivory.
No, but I know that a lot of times flutists will go to a maker and have them sort of tweak, you know, tweak the embouchure hole or tweak it so that it's just exactly to their liking.
I think it would be such fine adjustments. Everything can change with a very little bit on these embouchure holes.
Yes.
We're getting well into flute
Pretty deep,
geekdom
yeah.
here. Again, the recording is Grand Danson, and it features one of your signature pieces by Paquita de Rivera that we'll get to in a little while. Next up on the program, though, is Transparencias or Transparencies.
Transparencias.
Transparencias. And this is by Eduardo Gamboa.
He's a Mexican composer, and he's known for his film music, actually. And this piece, he wrote it originally for flute and string quartet. I performed it back in 2010 with my husband's quartet, the Euclid Quartet, and I loved it. I mean, it represents four different dance traditions of Mexican music in four different regions of Mexico.
Now, there's a word, a sabor, that you relate to this piece in your notes.
Well, here's the thing. So, the third movement, Rompe, actually includes a section that Gamboa writes, con sabor cubano, which means in the style of Cuban playing, but sabor doesn't really have a perfect translation. Directly translated, it means flavor. But it also, you know, it includes this idea of like the energy, the vibe of the Cuban flute tradition.
And I think you were mentioning in the notes that it has to do with the pulling forward and back of rhythm, or am I incorrect?
That's the first movement, that's
Oh.
Torito, and that has to do with this amazing and very difficult rhythmic concept that the third beat feels like the first beat in a 3-4. So, yes, I did find myself working on that quite hard. You might even see some counts written into that music. Oh, yeah. But I think the effect is really cool.
That's the great thing about exploring other cultures, other music, is picking up the flavor. And that is some of the hardest part. When you've been trained in another style, you apply your style to the new music and end up sounding silly for quite a long time.
Involuntarily, it's true. I thought I had done a great job when I first learned the Di Rivera concerto and I played it for him, and he was very kind and patient. But now when I go back and listen to that recording, I think, wow, it sounds like Mozart.
So what did you have to do? Just keep listening?
Yes, the listening is the main thing. And also, really, I had to let go, which is the hardest part. I had to let go to this, I had to let go to everything I learned to do in my classical training. For instance, the articulation in Cuban flute tradition is very percussive. It's almost, you know, a hard tongue. And actually, the percussive rhythmic tonguing is more important than the tone quality. It's rhythm that's the main thing. And in classical tradition, we're trained to favor a beauty of sound and a vocal and a refined articulation technique. So that's just one example.
Well, and the things that you're trained to do and you do really well, you think of as who you are. And that's me. And then to give that up, it feels really strange.
Exactly. And it's like what we, you know, this new something I read recently, life begins at the end of our comfort zone. So I was happy, you know, once I made the plunge, man, I don't know if I can go back. Like, it's fun to spit into that flute. It's really fun. It's fun to play hideously high things out of tune.
Maybe Mozart would benefit from that. You never know. I'd love to hear you play it, Martha. Well, let's take a stop and listen to a movement from Transparencias. Any particular movement, you think?
Let's hear the rompe. I think it'll be clear about what I'm talking about with the Cuban style.
That's a great short movement from Transparencias by Eduardo Gamboa, the third movement of this work, a four-movement suite. And my guest here is flutist Martha Council Vargas. We're celebrating her new CD, Gran Danzón, with music of Andrei Sas, Eduardo Gamboa, Christopher Caliendo is the next one we'll be talking about, and your good friend, Paquito de Rivera. And it's available now on iTunes and Amazon, as well as bluegriffinrecords.com. And when officially was this released? Just
February. Yep, February 1st.
Wow, just last month. That's great. I wish that the School of Music had a little gift shop, because with the release of Shadowcatcher and this new one, and there's Laurie Sims recordings as well, they'd have a brisk little shop there, I think.
I know, and I'm so proud to be part of such an active music scene here in Kalamazoo, to be part of a faculty that is so supportive and active as well. So many great artists on that faculty. And I should mention that thanks to Western, this CD exists. Actually, I was so privileged to receive a Faculty Research and Creative Activities Award. So that's how this CD came into being.
I was going to ask you, knowing that the typical day-to-day life of a professor at Western in the music department is filled from 7 in the morning till 8 at night with rehearsals, with teaching, with administrative work, with planning, and so much more that you really have to make an unbelievable extra effort to complete a special project like this.
It's true. The experience of this career is so rich. It is so full. It is full of wonderful, wonderful opportunities, wonderful moments to connect with my students, whom I adore. and yes, I do find myself sort of having to make room for my artistry, but luckily I'm at a place where that is absolutely 100% supported. So I feel so, so lucky that, you know, the only two things I'm good at, playing flute and teaching flute, I get to go to work every day and do those things.
You know what? I think you should bring a couple boxes of your new CD to the Western Wind Quintet concert coming up later this month. Of course, you'll be playing quintet music with your wonderful colleagues.
Oh, they're so good.
But people might be enjoy the chance to pick up this special disc.
I'll check with my colleagues, see how they feel about that.
Well, they can bring their CDs too.
Oh yeah, definitely. That is going to be a really fun concert. The Western Wind Quintet is a group of serious musicians and very, very loving colleagues. And that's March 19th.
March 19th. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's a Friday?
That's a Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday. That's right. I knew that. Mm-hmm. And what's the repertoire going to be?
Oh, we are playing the greats of the classical repertoire. It's going to be fantastic.
All right, on Wednesday, March 19th. And I think I'll be talking to members of the quintet that week as well.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I guess we could keep on going and take a look at the jazz sonata, the flute sonata number 7 here next from Christopher Caliendo. Does that mean spicy?
I think it is a little spicy. It's definitely rhythmic. It's definitely the most virtuosic piece on the CD. One of the things that really attracts me to this particular music is to draw the parallels between music of the USA and music south of the border. So I had this experience when I was about 19. I traveled to Panama, and I referred to the group I was with as Americans. And my Panamanian host kind of gave me a look like, we're all Americans. And that, you know, was eye-opening to me. And it was a wonderful revelation, and that has really shaped, I think, who I am as an artist, and hopefully as a person in the universe. So I really like drawing parallels between music of the U.S. and creating a sort of vision or an idea of universal Americanism through music.
Mm-hmm. I believe I've had discussions with Tom Kniffick on occasion where, of course, in the jazz tradition, the rhythm from these islands and from South and Central America just penetrated American music to such a degree that he doesn't think you should put Latin American music in a box anymore. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
It's who
it is.
We are, who they are, and we share almost equally when it comes to music.
The nice thing about music is we don't have those borders.
What can you tell me about the composer himself, Christopher Caliendo?
He is really prolific. I think he's written like 9 flute sonatas so far. And he dedicated this one to Jim Walker, who's this awesome flutist based in California. And he is very jazz oriented. He has a group called Free Flight. And I heard this at a flute convention, actually, and I just fell in love with it. Besides the fact that it's virtuosic for flute, it's also really virtuosic for piano. And I have to give a shout out to my pianist, Richard Steinbach. Not only is he an incredible musician, he's a dear, dear friend of mine, and he happens to be turning 60 today. Happy birthday, Richard.
Happy birthday. Which movement do you think?
I think the first movement, that's Richard's favorite. Thank you.
a virtuosic piece, just the beginning of the jazz sonata there by Christopher Caliendo, an American composer included on this new wonderful flute CD, Grand Danson, by Western Michigan University professor of flute, Martha Council Vargas, who's my guest. And we are having such a good time talking about flutes. I wonder about your home life in South Bend and the Euclid String Quartet. You have such a musical thing going on all the time. Your husband, of course, is a violist in the Euclid String Quartet. You must be listening to, playing music, preparing all the time.
You know, we are so busy and we're so blessed. We kind of sometimes take a look around and think, wow, we had no idea we were going to have so much fun with this musical life. And now with our little girl, my baby girl is going to turn 2 next month. She's tremendously interested in music. She knows lots of instruments, including flute and the buola, which is her word for viola. And the other day, my husband did ask her what she wanted to play, and she said, buola. We're going to have a serious talk.
Well, flute playing is hard in terms of the air support, and but I think ergonomically it's probably even Stevens with the viola in terms.
Exactly. And it's cheaper.
There you go. Always a consideration. Well, any final thoughts about this new recording? And this, it's a real achievement, and it, like I said before, I think it, you found pieces off the beaten path that add to the repertoire, and it's a big, thankful new contribution to flute repertoire and American music of all kinds.
Well, I feel so lucky to have had the opportunity to make the CD. And I feel so blessed to have worked with all the people that helped me, Richard Steinbach, Olman Piedra, all the composers on the disc, and all the flutists that have inspired me. You know, I had great teachers, Leon Bicey, Michel Dubost, like, they're royalty in my life. They helped me create a dream, and this is a dream I've had for a long time. My family, my friends, all the people that I've met in, you know, in Honduras, in Venezuela, in Colombia. All these people are part of this whole project. So yes, you know, I am looking all done up on the cover, but you know, there's a lot that went into this project. It's not just me. And so I am just so grateful for the opportunity. And I hope that people enjoy it. That's the best we can do as artists. This comes from my heart. And I do hope that it's something that means something to others.
And this sincere journey and adventure in music other than strictly classical, that you're bringing in these ethnic and folk elements and bringing them to your skills, what do you hope to pass on to the kids you're teaching at Western Michigan University?
I hope that they see that, yes, they are being trained in a Euroclassical tradition, but that is just the first step in their artistry. That they, with that as their foundation, can then be really true to their heart, their own artistic instincts, and they can use that. I have a student who's really interested in the Japanese shakuhachi tradition, so she's moving in that direction. I'm so proud of that. I feel like, you know, we're here as teachers to lead the way and to open the doors, but it's the students' job to walk through those doors. So I feel very privileged to be in that position as well.
You're playing with the Western Wind Quintet on March 19th, and the repertoire will be in the Euroclassical tradition. What does this study bring to your playing in as a Euroclassical style player?
What does the study of
South American, Latin American music? Do they cross paths at all?
Very much so, yes. I mean, I hope that the study of the folk and dance tradition of South America and the connection throughout the Americas brings a unified element to my playing, that hopefully, you know, that rhythm is at so much at the forefront of the dance tradition in South America, and I feel like that has really added something to my own, hopefully added something to my Euroclassical playing.
And when you listen to composers, even Beethoven or Brahms, you actually hear how they took folk music and which was also rhythmic and dance. You always dance to it, and they liked that style too.
My 2-year-old dances to all kinds of classical music, and you know, you could hear the clave in just about anything.
Well, would you tell me a little story about Paquito de Rivera and this Grand Danzón?
Okay, Maestro de Rivera is a treasure in my life. I decided to write my doctoral dissertation on his flute concerto, Grand Danzón, mainly because I got some really good advice, which was I was so intimidated by the thought that I would have to write a, you know, 100-page or more document about music and, you know, thinking to myself, man, I spent my life in a practice room. How am I going to do this? I got this advice, just pick a piece that you love and write about it. And so I was already really intrigued, of course, by Latin American music. And I thought, okay, Paquito de Rivera, he's a jazz musician. He wrote a flute concerto. Did I die and go to heaven? So you know what I did? I just called him. I just called him up. He doesn't know me, but I just said, look, I'm writing this paper about your concerto. Could I meet with you? And he said, of course. There I was a week later in his house talking about this piece. You know, it's a gem. It combines the Euroclassical tradition with the Cuban charanga tradition that was so popular, like we said, around the early 20th century. It features the absolute, you know, melodic lyricism that you might expect in a Euroclassical concerto, but it also features that percussive articulation. It features an improvisatory section. This arrangement of the concertos for flute, percussion, and piano. I had a wonderful Costa Rican percussionist, Olman Piedra, and it's pretty much my favorite piece to play.
Martha, it's been a great joy having you here today.
Likewise, Kara.
Congratulations on the new CD. It's available at Amazon, iTunes, and through bluegriffinrecords.com.
Thank you.